Welcome to the regular meeting of the Planning Commission. The regular meetings are held here at the first Tuesday of each month at the Roger E. Hedge Past Chambers. Citizens may address the Planning Commission during specified times on the agenda and are requested to adhere to the following. Please speak at the podium. Please state your name and your address. Direct comments only to the commission. Please limit speaking time to a maximum of 3 minutes when there's a little assistance on the counter. And please speak only once during a specific hearing or comment period. A wireless microphone is available to anyone requesting the assistance. Please silence all cell phones, show respect for all speakers, and allow all opinions to be expressed in a tolerant atmosphere. With that, we'll call the meeting to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ford?
Here.
Ms. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Kassoff?
Present.
Mr. Britt? Mr. Cassie?
Here.
Ms. Reinhart?
Here.
Ms. Walger? I am here. We have a quorum.
Thank you. First item is our consent agenda. There's four items on our consent agenda, the first being the approval of the Planning Commission minutes from June 3rd, and the proposed action is to approve. Second is rezoning 25-5 Tech Terrace PRD rezoning request at 305 and 309 Webb Street, and the proposed action is to schedule a public hearing for August 5th, 2025. The third item is rezoning 25-4 Yellow Sulphur Apartments PRD rezoning request at 3503 Holiday Lane, and the proposed action is to cancel the July 1st, 2025 public hearing and reschedule at a later date. And the last item is zoning ordinance amendment number 60, ordinance 2001, an amendment to amend the text of the town zoning ordinance to create a new downtown northwest zoning district for the area bounded by North Main Street, Turner Street, and Price's Fork Road. And the proposed action is to cancel the July 1st, 2025 public hearing and reschedule at a later date. Do we have a motion?
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We'll move on now to our public hearings. First public hearing is CUP 25-1, the Graham Outdoor Recreational Camp Conditional Use Permit Request at 2190 Merrimack Road. And we have a staff presentation by Kenzie O'Shea.
Thank you. This is a conditional use permit request for a camp at the historic Linkus Kipps House on Merrimack Road. The property is more than 15 acres and is zoned RR1, Rural Residential 1. The existing historic home sits on approximately 15 acres and contains a number of agricultural outbuildings. There's a paved driveway and parking area, as well as a by-right commercial stable on the property. Here is an aerial image showing the subject area outlined in blue. It backs up to the subdivision at Struble's Ridge, as well as the Kipps Farm subdivision and the Blacksburg High School. The zoning administrator has determined that the proposed uses as outlined in the application are most in line with the definition of a camp. The proposed overnight lodging in the historic home would be permissible under the definition of camp as well, which is seen on the screen and was provided in your staff report. The application includes an outline of proposed uses, including educational programming, historic tours, arts and crafts workshops, counseling and tutoring sessions, small community events and private gatherings, and overnight lodging in the historic home. This is an aerial image provided by the applicant showing the driveway, the paved parking area, and the main home. The by-right commercial stable is in the distance beyond the fenced yard. Conditional use permits are evaluated per section 1181 of the zoning ordinance for conformity to the comprehensive plan, the zoning ordinance, and the minimum adverse impacts to the neighborhood or community. In the comprehensive plan, community character principles are an articulation of the guiding principles and traits for future development within town. The following are the community character principles that relate to this proposal. They are also provided in your staff report. There are several points to note regarding the maps in the comprehensive plan, as seen on the screen and also provided in the staff report. This is a map of the future land use designation for the property. It is entirely low-density residential in the yellow. The purpose of each zoning district is expressed in the zoning ordinance. The purpose and intent of the RR1 zoning district is found on the screen and provided in the staff report as well. This map shows the current RR1 zoning in light green. Use and design standards are also considered when evaluating conditional use permits. Section 4305 outlines the use and design standards for camps. Additional use and design standards are found on the screen and were provided in the staff report. We also look at development standards when evaluating the application. The application states that there are 10 paved parking spaces near the existing home. The zoning administrator has determined that the existing parking will be sufficient for the proposed use. Conditional use permits are evaluated for their mitigation of potential adverse impacts. The applicant has provided the following measures with regard to potential impacts. Additional mitigation of impacts may be achieved in the recommended conditions. The proposed camp will be served by public water and sanitary sewer. The stormwater concept plan was included with the application and was approved by town engineering staff. There are no anticipated impacts or warranted or recommended improvements regarding transportation and traffic, and the applicant proposes to utilize a private collection service for waste management. A neighborhood meeting was held on Thursday, May 28th at 5:30 p.m. There were a number of attendees who expressed concern with the proposed use and potential noise, traffic, and parking impacts. However, as the meeting progressed, attendees expressed support for the use, specifically for its proposed preservation of the historic home. Since that time, a number of emails have been received from neighbors expressing concern with the proposed use. There are a number of conditions that are proposed with this application. The first being substantial conformance with the application. The second limits the number of events that will be permitted per week and the maximum number of attendees at any event. The third is a condition regarding overnight stays in association with the camp use at the historic Linkus Kipps house. Many of these are found in the town's short-term rental regulations. The last two conditions regard the time, the hours of operation of the camp events, and that the owner will coordinate with staff regarding any sanitary sewer issues that may arise on the property with the increased use. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have of staff.
Any questions for Kinsey?
Kinsey, could you just put the rural residential description back up there for 1 second?
Sure.
The minimum lot size for housing in rural residential is 2 acres?
There's no minimum lot size for housing in the rural residential district. It's dictated by a gross density of 1 unit per acre.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Additional questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on then to the applicant presentation, Jeff Graham and Fiona Allen.
Do I control slides from here?
Yes.
Well, good evening, everyone. Nice to meet you all. I'm Jeff Graham. This is my daughter, Fiona, and my wife, Katie Graham, is at the back. We've talked at a lot of the other meetings, and I think a lot of people here know the history now of this particular house, so we'll start with that point, if we can go to that. So this house was built in 1799. It's the second oldest house in Blacksburg after Smithfield, and it's a treasure. Inside capacity, I'm going to tell you the things you haven't already heard here, but inside capacity, there's 4 meeting rooms downstairs, there's 5 bedrooms upstairs, and 3 bathrooms in the house. And there's an open space outside in the kitchen and a patio that can be used as well. And of course, we have an active, approved horse barn that we operate right at the top of the field there. 12 horse barn in the surrounding 14 pastures. So effectively, we're looking at the Linker Skip's house surrounded by the white fencing you see there on the diagrams. Our objectives have been pretty simple. It's one, we wanted to restore the house. We've done that. Our initial goal was to get the house safe and operable. It was a groundhog infestation underneath it at the beginning. The septic tank was unstable. We connected it to the sewer lines. We rebuilt the foundation up where it collapsed a part of it because the water in the house, the pipes had burst, the heating had burst, and it needed rewiring. So we've done, over the last year, since we bought it a year ago, we've done a lot of restoration on the house. And we've done permits where we needed permits with Flaxburg to get that. So a grinder pump and a connection to the mainline sewer, which it wasn't before. So we brought it back up to a safety and operational standard of the house, and it's very, very comfortable. I have to say, the bones of the house, the logs, these 250-year-old trees that have been in the walls for 250 years are pretty amazing, and they provide great bones for the house. And Larry Linkus, I think, is to be praised for doing that work in the first place and making that okay. What we want to do when we saw it, and we came to this property, by the way, really looking at the horse barn. The realtor was a little surprised that we were looking at horse barn first. But when we saw the house, we went, oh my goodness, we need to save this place. It needs saving for the town. And that was our primary goal, is let's restore this, let's open it up. We've come, by the way, after 35 years in California. I was with the computer industry, but I'm a keen historian, and I believe in giving back to the community. And this is a way that we see as giving back, opening a house that's very important to the community. And we want to focus on local community, and we want to bring in education groups and events and tours. And Fiona's going to take those descriptions you through those descriptions in a second or two. And with that, provide some short-term overnight stays. The intention of the overnight stay is not to run this as an Airbnb. It's to offer the convenience of doing that if somebody comes in. So we've had requests, for example, Virginia Tech Creative Writing wants to come in. There's a couple of people coming in from out of town. They could stay there at the same time, for instance. And we want to establish a historic link with Smithfield, which we've already done. Katie and I are advisors on the Smithfield board now, and we're donors at Smithfield. And we want to use any income we get, and we're not trying to make money out of this. I know people probably say that to you often, but you know, seriously, this is not trying to make a money-making venture. This is trying to take some of that income and use it for restoration. The two big restoration projects yet to do is new siding on the house, because that's vinyl siding. Sears vinyl siding from the 80s, looks pretty good from a distance, and put a new metal roof on the house. But we funded all of the restoration to date. We spent the money on doing that. So that's our objectives. I think you know who we are. I think all I'd say about myself and Katie is that we've got prior, you know, farming experience. We used to run a 1,200-acre ranch with 400 cattle on it. So we've grown up in rural environments, and we know that. So we're no neophytes there. And we're very deeply entrenched and educated on horses. So we've been masters of foxhound packs and other things to do. So we've got the background to do it. And I've been very, in my upbringing, very involved in construction. So I'll let Fiona introduce herself.
So I'm Fiona Allen. I'm employed as the executive director of Mary Mac Farm, and would be the primary contact for any of the programs and events that would happen at the Linkus Kipps house. I'm also an owner of a small business in town, a private practice recreational therapy company. And I've been a Blacksburg resident since 2022. I live off of Shadow Lake Road, and I'm married to a Virginia Tech tenured professor, and we plan to stay here for the foreseeable future and put our roots down in Blacksburg. My parents followed us to be close to
family. We followed the grandkids.
Followed the grandkids.
I'd like to say. That's why we're here, and we're loving it, by the way.
So we envision this to be a cultural and educational asset to Blacksburg. We want to give this house and this property back to the community. I think that it has been forgotten about or didn't even know that it even existed. We want to encourage community engagement through the history and nature. We want to do environmental programs, education outside in nature, learn about the horses, learn about the stream, learn about the rural environment and the agriculture, as well as the deep historical significance of the house. There's Civil War history that has taken place on the house that is documented, and we would love to give school groups the ability to come in and learn about that real world history and connect that they're learning in the classroom to their local community. We think that this really supports that small-scale sustainable land use that is a goal of the RR1 zoning.
moving.
Can
you advance it, Kinsey? Sorry, there you go.
So our proposed activities are doing historical tours and educational programs, teaching about the history that happened on the property, educational programs, environmental programs, nature programs, connecting to agriculture and horses. I am a recreational therapist and would love to offer some therapy and counseling opportunities. I've already started incorporating the horses into some of my therapeutic work that I do with my clients. My mom is a former teacher, and she would love to offer tutoring services to local students in the house. We would also like to offer arts and crafts workshops and outdoor education experiences. Other small businesses be allowed to rent out spaces in the house to run like a flower bouquet making workshop, or a local counselor come in and run a parenting workshop, or a department can come run an off-campus retreat for 12 of their departments, and if they have people coming out of town, they can have overnight stays in the house. We like to offer poetry, music, storytelling, bring in people from the local community. Folks from like Warm Hearth could come and have opportunities to learn about the house and history and have a nice morning in a different setting.
One of the beauties of the house is each of the downstairs rooms have an external door. And so you could have somebody using a room, use the external door, have lunch on the patio or the porch. So it's ideally suited to using a room at a time for different purposes.
Our focus and limits, we really want to focus on youth programs, senior and disability community engagement, as well as small-scale community gatherings. The gatherings for the events would be considered an event when it's over 25 people and would be capped at 50 people. That would include staff for the event. So that would be a total of 50 people on the property at any one time. The lodge accommodates up to 10 people, and that's because there are five bedrooms in the house. It really comfortably sleeps eight adults and two children because one of the rooms is attached to one of the other bedrooms in a way that makes the most sense for a family. The overnight stays would be limited to 90 days per year, and these have been added as conditions since our first neighborhood meeting, and we are okay with all the conditions that the town has proposed to put in place. These would be, and these are in line with the homestay opportunities for the town. We'll collect and remit the town's transient lodging tax. We our events will end at 10 p.m. and not start any earlier than 8 a.m. and align with the town noise code. Overnight stays 2 to 3 times a week, and it is not a primary residence. So,
yeah.
We only have a minute and 30 seconds.
Okay, keep going. Okay, so the driveway, I think, in terms of issues, has been one of the most contentious. The driveway is interesting. It was put in 86 by Larry Linkus himself when he owned, partly with Mike Schneider, the land that he was segmenting it from. And I think there's been some kind of misunderstanding of rights on the driveway. But the driveway is for access to this house, and it's also for access to the field on the south side, which is in the county, which Bill McDonald leases from Janet Linkus Russell. So that's the primary use of this driveway. But it has been used, of course, by Kipps Farms people. But the Kipps Farm don't have any rights to it, or they technically own the driveway. So that's kind of just some of the facts on that. We maintain it. We did the asphalt. We've been doing the asphalt. We've been doing the tree trimming and the grass mowing on the driveway. I think we've covered some of it already.
Yeah. We have a 30-foot easement on the driveway. The driveway itself is 10 feet, but we have an additional 20 feet that's grass that can be allowed for cars passing and pulling over onto that grass if they need to get by. I've been in touch with the fire department, who are not concerned about emergency vehicle access. The closest house is in Struble's Mill, is about 0.1 miles away, and then the closest Kipps Farmhouse is 0.2 miles away up a 37-foot elevation hill with mature trees, so they have no view of the house and the events going on at the house.
Okay. How are we doing? Is that one? I think that's everything, really. You know the zoning conservation stuff.
Oh, and then the
stuff,
zoning, so. I think we align very well with the zoning goals of RR1 zoning.
So we can take questions if you like at this point, or how would you like to do it?
Questions for the applicant.
Could you state again? You were on a timer there. The distance from the like the fence line to the Kipps Farm residences.
The closest Kipps Farm house is 0.2 miles. From if you're drawing like a straight line from the house to the closest Kipps Farm house is 0.2 miles.
0.2 miles.
And that closest house is by the tennis courts.
Up a hill, yeah. So it's down a down a hill with mature trees. There are two Kipps Farm houses that we can see from our property when you're, and those you can only see when you're at the barn. And they look down on our barn and our horse arena, but they do not see the house.
Any additional questions for the applicant?
One more. And just since you had to speak so fast, I want to be clear about it. You know, this proposal has, the conditions and everything has evolved a lot since we saw y'all 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, at the work session. So there are more, you know, conditions, requirements as far as the overnight stays and all those things. And you guys are perfectly fine with the staff recommended conditions to control limit.
Yes, definitely.
And you fully understand that as a conditional use, those conditions will travel with the land if for any reason needed to be sold out of your ownership?
We actually
those conditions
would
apply.
I think, something that Kipps Farm residents have raised concerns about it traveling with the ownership. Mm-hmm. We would want to make sure that it travels with the ownership. In the event of my parents passing, we would like for that the owner transfer to be transferred to me. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that this conditional use permit transfers that, because I do not want to repeat this process.
But also, if it were to leave your ownership, the conditions would apply to the next owner.
I do understand
if they assume that. If they assume conditional use. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Great. Any additional questions? Comments? All right.
Thank you.
Well, now, thank you very much. We'll now open up the floor to public comment. Anyone who would like to address the commission on this particular public hearing can do so at this time. Hi.
Hi. Good evening, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Gwen Ogle, and I reside at 2813 Tall Oaks Drive in the Struble's Mill neighborhood. I'm speaking tonight in favor of the Graham Outdoor Recreational Camp conditional use permit. I do so as a resident of the neighborhood that abuts the property most closely, as a longtime Blacksburg resident, and as a parent of a child that benefits from the unique therapies and expertise offered at this farm. Speaking to the latter point, our daughter benefits from equine therapy, where Fiona Allen has been an absolute professional, adjusting to our daughter's schedule and needs without blinking an eye. Due to medical reasons, traveling to the next closest facility that advertises equine therapy is over 80 miles away and was not an option for our daughter. That this facility, operated by this professional, exists in our backyard is miraculous, and we are so grateful. As a lover of historical architecture and Blacksburg history, I'm smitten with the history of this farm. The Grahams commissioned a researcher to investigate the history and genealogy of the house and its land. The Allens and Grahams, at great expense, continue to restore this property and provide a level of maintenance and historic maintenance that historic preservationists could only dream of. The Grahams offer something that almost never happens in Blacksburg: access to a very rare and significant historic property. Through the 34 years that I have been a Blacksburg resident, I have seen change that is both good and bad, both progressive and character altering. The saddest of the changes for me always involve historic properties that are demolished, often in favor of new higher density construction. Properties such as the old brick mansion on Clay Street, or the historic home on Mount Tabor in Maine. In Blacksburg, historic homes at best remain in private hands. At worst, they're purchased by developers and destroyed. But here, in this moment, with this farm, we have a unique opportunity to gain public access to a rare historical gem with deep roots running back to the beginning of Blacksburg. Cared for by the Grahams, who have the means and the desire to restore and maintain the property with the deepest integrity and historical accuracy, and share it with the public. The access they are requesting is limited, that of recreational use. They certainly could have applied for more extensive permitting, such as a bed and breakfast, but their goal has not been to maximize financial capitalization, but to use the property for beneficial therapies and group meetings that showcase and share the beauty and history of this special place. I urge you to approve their permit request, and I'm grateful for this property landing in their hands. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. Good afternoon, evening. My name's Sean Gray. I live at 2300 Scenic Ridge Circle. I'm here tonight representing the Kipps Farm Homeowners Association's president to express our concerns regarding the conditional use permit for the Kipps Linkus property. In my role, I fielded many concerns and questions from residents regarding the application, namely increased traffic, ownership of egress, and intentions of the Grahams. We attended a very nice presentation and conversation with the Grahams on Sunday afternoon and learned more, but still have questions and concerns about the plan and use of the property as it continues to evolve. As an adjacent property owner to the driveway easement, which sits on Kipps Farm HOA land, I've observed increased traffic the last few months as work's been done on the property, which has cause for concern for use of the property and increased traffic as with overnight guests. For decades, the easement was established to provide access to a single-family home. This application would change the intent of that easement from residential to commercial, bringing into question liability and responsibility of those utilizing the driveway. I asked the Planning Commission to do its due diligence to investigate this component and request that alternate access points be explored if possible. I do want to be clear that I support the preservation of the history and educational opportunities their proposal outlines, but feel strongly that the plan must be clearly defined before any approvals are made. Finally, we are concerned about the long-term impact should the property be sold. This permit must not automatically transfer to future owners without strict limitations, ensuring the integrity of our residential zone is protected regardless of ownership changes. I would request that if granted, the conditional use permit would not transfer with ownership outside of the family. Thank you for your time and thoughtful consideration.
Yeah.
One last thing.
Certainly.
While the closest home is 0.2 miles from the property, many of the properties back up within 15 feet of that driveway, so they are very close. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that just going to start?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Megan Fitterer, and I am an adjacent property owner residing at 2248 Scenic Ridge Circle. I'm here to strongly oppose this application. The applicant describes the use as a camp, but the activities outline hosting events up to three times a week with up to 50 attendees, renting bedrooms as office space, something that we learned about while meeting with the applicant Sunday, further highlight their intent to expand beyond the uses described in their application, and accommodating overnight guests clearly do not fit the definition of a camp under the Town of Blacksburg zoning ordinance. Instead, these activities align with two separate specifically defined uses in the ordinance, event center and general office, neither of which are allowed in the RR1 zoning district, even by conditional permit. Calling this a camp is misleading in an attempt to circumvent zoning regulations. In regards to the equine stables, that is a by right activity, which they have continued to remind us of, so that would not fall under this camp activity. Additionally, Kipps Farm HOA is the servient estate for the ingress egress easement to this property. This easement was never designed to support the level of high volume frequent traffic associated with these events. For nearly 40 years, it has served quiet residential and agricultural use, not high volume commercial traffic. Hosting frequent events with dozens of attendees creates an unreasonable burden on the historically residential easement and surrounding properties. Moreover, on Sunday, while meeting with the applicant, they noted the 50-person maximum applies only to the event attendees, suggesting that the actual number of people on the property could significantly exceed that limit when factoring in the commercial stable and the use of office space for professional activities. At previous meetings, the applicant claimed that this is a unique case due to their acreage, but I found more than 60 other RR1 properties within town limits over 10 acres, identified using the GIS website. This is not unique, and approving it would be a dangerous precedent for commercial activity in a residential agricultural zone. Lastly, while I support preserving and sharing the history of the Linkus Kipps house, that does not justify transforming it into a fundamentally different use under the guise of a camp. Educational tours are one thing, commercial events are another entirely. In short, this proposal misrepresents its purpose, violates zoning rules, burdens neighbors, and opens the door to broader misuse of RR1 land. I respectfully urge the Planning Commission to deny this conditional use permit. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Doug McClellan. I live at 12302 Sequoia Farm Circle, and my yard backs up to the driveway. My concern is that they say that there can only be 50 people at one time. Well, I used to be in the Marine Corps, and we could get 1,000 people through that site and only have one platoon on site at a time. So there's actually no limit to the amount of people that can visit this site in a day. I think that's very poor wording. It should be the 20. They reduced the number of people, I understand, to 25 people to an event. 25 people a day, period. I think that makes sense. Now, the other problem I have with the number of people is who's going to count them? You're not going to count them. I can stand in my driveway, backyard, one, two. Is that how we're supposed to? Who's going to control it? There's no control. They won't know whether there's 25 people or 50 people, because nobody knows. So don't tell me it's only 25 people for an event or 50 people a day, because nobody's going to know how many people go up and down that road. The other thing is, you're actually, this is a motel now. There are 10 people there. Now, I've worked for architects and engineers for more years than I like to count. And every time we build a motel, it's a real pain in the you know what. And if you look over at that wall there, you'll see something up on the wall, and it's a fire alarm. And it goes crazy if somebody lights a cigarette out there or does anything. You'll see right below it, there's a sign that says, maximum occupancy, 102 people. Well, how many people is this? It's not big enough for 50 people to get into. Now, maybe it's 25, but who checks? Who's going to check? Is it handicapped? This is a commercial establishment. Does it have to have handicapped access? Does the fire marshal need to look at the facility to make sure it's got the right exit signs, or does it need exit signs? I don't know. But somebody needs to make a determination. It's close to a school. Is it okay to have a motel near a school? Is this a motel? When I sat and listened to what everybody had to say, you really didn't know. And now you say, well, it's part of a campground. Well, is the Department of Education okay with having a campground where campers stay overnight next to one of their facilities? Has anybody asked the Board of Education about that? I don't know. I think I've expended my time, but that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Were you able to take it to one of those slides that has?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Which one would you like?
Just anything with the driveway.
Okay.
My name is Frank Flame. I live at Kipps Farms, 2304 Scenic Ridge Circle. And I live all the way down towards the end on Merrimack, where my property butts up against this driveway.
You like this one?
Yep, right there. So that's me, and I have three kids, 6, 3, and 1. And our property is 5 feet away from that driveway. And just coming here, and it's just construction workers, they had to pull into my property to let somebody pass. And that's 5 feet from my trampoline where my one-year-old's bouncing around. And at nighttime, there's no lights, and it is pitch black. And let's say something goes till 10, and these events happen, weddings, tailgates when football season comes around, and some drunk guy comes and whatever happens and runs over one of my kids, like, I always think worst scenario and stuff like this, but there's no room for any sort of passage, whether there's four cars on that driveway or two. There's no divider. My kids play on that. Sean's kids play on that. We have a whole neighborhood group of kids that run up and down that. When we bought this home, we thought this was just the easement for people to walk for a private residence that Kipps Farms leased for 100 years. So that's my main concern, is safety of my children. When this starts to take off and all these cars pull off, and for some reason some of the neighborhood's kids are out there, and God forbid something happens. And the presenter mentioned that they could just pull off and just pass that way. Yeah, you're pulling off into our property to pass. That driveway is barely 8 feet wide. And if you're going to extend it, it's coming up to one of our property lines. So if this ends up passing, because I'm all for it. I have special needs in my family. I'm all for therapy. I'm all for education and everything. I'm all about it. But this scares the hell out of me. It really does. As a dad, as a parent, it's real. And I don't like speaking in front of people, nor do I make time for doing stuff like this. But I came here, my wife said, are you really going to this? I said, yeah. I was like, I'm doing it for my kids. And I'm really worried about that something happening, and I think that's a serious thing you guys need to consider. Appreciate your time.
Hello, good evening. My name is Amanda Lankus, and I reside at 934 Council Lane, which is in Merrimack, Virginia. I've been a member of the Blacksburg equine community for 40 years. My grandfather worked in the Merrimack mines, and I grew up in Merrimack. The very first time that I met the Graham family, they were warm and welcoming. I was given a tour of the historic house and farm. The Grahams possess a vast knowledge of Lincoln's history, some of which was unknown to myself. With the Grahams leading the farm into the new era, I have no doubt history will be preserved and the future will be bright. They have my full support. One thing that I know about the Graham family, they are very honest people. If they say that they are going to use this as a camp, they will use it as a camp. There will not be people partying. There will be none of that. Noise won't be an issue. The farm is a beautiful place. And if you have special needs children, equine therapy is the way to go. Thank you so much.
Good evening. My name is Jenny Orzalek, and I live at 2294 Scenic Ridge Circle, directly adjacent, similar to Frank, to the driveway that serves this property. My family has lived in Kipps Farm for 7 years, in the New River Valley for 19. This is certainly home for us, and we truly value its quiet, family-friendly community. I speak tonight on behalf of many of our neighbors who've raised questions and similar concerns with the proposed conditional use permit. Because of the July 4th holiday this week, many are traveling and cannot attend tonight in person. I don't have a final count. I know that roughly half of our homeowners have reached out directly via email to lift up their concerns. I attended the work session last month, and I also met with the Graham family on Sunday evening. And I appreciated both opportunities very much to learn more about this proposal. However, my core concerns do remain. As has been expressed tonight, the proposal for a commercial event venue and a short-term rental, essentially an Airbnb, with no on-site owner and no on-site full-time staff. Again, we continue to raise the question about who will monitor the events, who will monitor the Airbnb, the short-term rental. The driveway easement, which has been expressed, on land that is owned by Kipps Farm HOA. Long-term impacts if this business expands or changes ownership in the future. The vision and business plan, as we have heard them, have certainly evolved. And we have been asked to trust them. I heard our prior speaker. It's very easy to get swept up in their passion for history and forget that what they're proposing in our backyard is a commercial business directly behind our homes. The difference here is intention versus reality, and I think that is our concern as we look to future. The town has recommended the camp designation, as we're aware. This is not a traditional camp. Guests will stay in the house, which owners do not occupy. The reality is this is a non-owner-occupied short-term rental paired with commercial event venue. It contradicts Blacksburg's homestay policy regarding owner occupancy. If I were a homestay operator in Blacksburg following the rules, I would certainly raise the question as to why this exception is being considered. The driveway easement is another major issue. It sits on land, as you have heard, that's owned by Kipps Farm HOA, was intended for residential farm access, not commercial use. The owner's comment on Sunday to us was that we had no say in this issue, was both inaccurate and dismissive. These are legal and liability concerns that must be fully considered before moving forward. Finally, I'm deeply concerned about the long-term impact should the property be sold and this transfer to next owners who may have different intentions. We would gladly welcome the Graham family as full-time neighbors should they decide to reside there permanently. I think they're lovely people. However, as proposed, this is a commercial business, not a camp, and it's not their residence. A short-term rental or an Airbnb, an event venue of this nature do not align with the character of our area. So we respectfully ask that you deny this request until these issues are fully resolved. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
I have 3 minutes. I thought I had two. Okay.
You can talk slow. You can talk slowly.
Okay. My name is Dr. Wendy Eckenrod Green. I'm a full professor at Radford University in the School of Teacher Education and Leadership. I'm also a small business owner and a licensed professional, and I provide mental health services to the area, and I'm also an executive director of a nonprofit here. I can tell you that my experience at Radford in our education program, we do partnerships. If you're familiar with Salu, which is a farmhouse, I facilitated field trips for Montgomery County fifth grade students to go to this using our students, teacher educator candidates, as volunteers to facilitate this field trip. And I imagine and envision similar things happening at this establishment. I'm also a researcher, an author. I've published a book on parenting. I've provided free workshops at the Blacksburg High School for parents. I'm an invested individual in this community. And I'll share more about that. I know from our data that was collected in 2024 from the New River Community Health Assessment, the number two concern is access to mental health services in the NRV. You all can look that up. I am also a part of a consortium group of counselors, licensed psychologists, and social workers. And the number one need is mental health services for children. I provide that on a very small scale, and I look forward to collaborating with the Grahams to expand that. One of the things that I do want to say is one way I measure an individual or a person is very clearly by how they treat someone who has an opposing opinion. And as a leader at the state level, I was the president of the Virginia Counselors Association, and I shepherded the state of Virginia through COVID. And I was an expert witness and testified on the floor of the General Assembly for mental health needs. Now, the impact was the state providing funding for municipalities and counties. Montgomery County chose to use that money for free and reduced lunches. I would have liked to see that dedicated towards mental health specifically. What the Grahams are doing is offering a foundational structure, and that's absolutely necessary. There aren't very many resources here. I support them very strongly, and I encourage you to look at the facts that are presented by the family. And oh, by the way, I live in Kipps Farm. my property where I live at backs up to. And I'm probably not popular, but that's okay. I'm an advocate. I did a petition for Serenity Holly, who was murdered by her boyfriend, who then shot himself. So I can stand up to public scrutiny.
Hello, my name is Joseph Brusgel. I live at 303 Overlook, so over near the stadium. I purchased that house last year after trying to find one for about 2 years. And obviously, you guys know housing in town is tough. But I have lived in Blacksburg for the past 4 years, and in that time, I have spent a lot of time volunteering with the polo club at Virginia Tech, and that is actually where I met Jeff and Katie. Fiona came out to one of our fundraisers and said, my parents are moving here. You guys should absolutely talk to them. They'd love to help. And immediately, Jeff came out, started volunteering, giving a lot of time to the program and trying to just help it. In that, he and I spoke. He invited me over to the property to show me all that they're doing to the farm as well as the house. What I've learned is that Jeff has a love of history. He wants to preserve it. He wants to do the right thing. There's so many properties that are similar to this that you watch just decay. And they never get any love, and they wind up being a subdivision. The actual farm that I grew up going to, used to walk to, that was in my neighborhood, was sold, had a historic home, very similar, not a huge property, about 20 acres. And I watched it when I was in high school and college go through the same thing. The town fought them. The real close residents kind of fought them. I used to go to these to watch because I love the property. They decided that they weren't going to allow something kind of similar, but without the horse on the property, but using the historic home, revamping it, all that. Residents didn't like that. They then said, we want to take the property and basically make a nice natural space and do that and build up the barn to be a restaurant. Still, we'd like to use the house, and the residents fought it. They eventually then sold the house off. So the house is still there. It's kind of in mediocre shape. The barn is knocked down, and there's a cookie-cutter neighborhood that has been replaced. It was a massive historic barn that had roots for 200 years. And so you watch these things happen. And I know that going and seeing the property that, you know, Jeff has gone through all the history, he's looked into it, he really wants to maintain everything. And I think the quality of person that he moved to the area to be with his grandkids, he moved to the area and he immediately starts volunteering. He wants to be a member of this community, same as I do. And I think that, you know, Fiona is the same way. She wants to be a member. She's the one that originally put us in touch with him. So I think that there are very, very many concerns that I think are very valid. But I think that the quality of person that is taking on this project should speak great, can't think of the word, but should speak a lot about how this will be run and how it will be maintained. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Todd Linkus, I live at 2030 Oil Road. I didn't prepare a speech or any kind of notes, really, because I generally talk from my heart. My last name's Linkus, so naturally I'm attached to the property. My uncle Larry Linkus lived in the house for 40 years. I'm probably one of only three or four people that ever slept there. I also had the opportunity to know Miss May Kipps, that Larry actually bought the house from in the middle 80s, where Kipps Elementary is named after her and her sister and brother Mike. You know, when I look at this and I listen to everybody talk, and I think the intent of what the Grahams have asked for is unimaginable, lucky for us. The gentleman just spoke on watching things deteriorate. And I think over the course of the 2 years where Larry sold it and the Grahams bought it, people, if you drove past and saw, it did deteriorate. And in the last, right at a year now, you know, they have dumped quite a bit of resources in there, not to harm, not to hurt the town, but to do what they've said, which is present the culture and the historical significance of this place. And, you know, asking the community to come in, and all the intent is great. And some of the arguments that I've heard tonight are good arguments, but they're also easily overcome. You know, I think about my kids in the backyard playing with a driveway right there. A really nice big 10-foot board fence would go a long way in that protection for the kids. But then is that going to be a problem too? One of my concerns is whatever the solution comes up to be, other than not doing anything, it's not going to be good enough. And they are, the Grahams are too good of people to let things go in a bad way for anybody. I can say that, not knowing them a long time, but long enough, about 9-10 months ago, I showed up one day and I got, you know, red carpet, and maybe because I was a Linkus, but they're just good to everybody. I encourage you to move forward with this, and we no doubt can work through some of the little issues and make this safe and a win-win for everybody. Worst case scenario, you know, it falls back on taxpayer burden to figure out what to do in the future. And you've got a family here with the passion, the desire, the knowledge, and the resources. And, you know, we as a community should take full advantage of it so that, you know, 200 years from now, somebody's looking at that going, boy, those people were really talented and smart and did a good job. So thank you for listening. And again, I urge you to approve this and let's work through the issues. Thanks.
When comment is closed?
We'd like to hear public comment, yeah. Any additional public comment on this particular hearing? Okay, seeing none, we'll open it up to applicant rebuttal, if you'd like.
Not so much a rebuttal in the sense that I would say I'm empathetic to the Kipps Farm folks. I mean, because it's been quiet for the last few years. It was sold for 3 years by Larry almost 5 years ago now, and nothing much happened. And I think the person who owned it scared the life out of the Kipps Farm people because she wanted to develop the place. She let the house go, by the way. That's how it got infested. That's how the pipes bust, because she was desirous of that happening to do a development there. And that can happen with people who want that, but she discovered she couldn't do it. And she put it back on the market and we bought it. So I'm sympathetic that nothing much has happened on that lane. But the lane is the access to the house. And
sir, could you please address the commission? Thank you.
The lane is the access to the house. And I offered when I made the point that to the Kipps Farm folks is they can fence it if they want. I don't mind them fencing it. Mm-hmm. I can fence it if I want. I'd rather leave it open and leave it for access. But you've got people complaining who haven't even fenced their yards. And so that is, you know, if you're so concerned, why aren't you fencing your yard for your kids or anything else? But all those things are possible to do. But we need to access it. The alternative is we shut this down and we live in the house. And by the way, we do live in the house. I mean, this is because I don't live in it 7 days a week. I'm at the house every day at the moment, particularly. But we'll stay in there 3 or 4 days a week. We've got 7 horses there. So it's an active thing for us. Just because I have another house doesn't mean to say that I don't care about this house. And we furnished it nicely and high quality. I don't want people to trash it or anything else. We're big donors. We support Mass Arts. We're big donors at Mass Arts. We're big donors at Smithfield. We're bought into this community and trying to do stuff. But your flip side of all this desire is to shut it down. And what will happen if we shut it down? Then you won't get access to the farm. Nobody else in Blacksburg will get access to the farm because we can't do it.
Again, could you please address here?
So I'm trying to say this is the way you give access. And the rules that, of course, have been granted are the camp rules. And, you know, we're trying to live within them. And, yes, you've got to trust people. We think we're fairly trustworthy, and I think people have endorsed that aspect of what we're trying to do. But we're trying to add back. We're not trying to destroy something. We're not trying to trick anybody. And I realize it disturbs people at times, these things. But that's really what we're after. And I know the not in my backyard desire is real, and I understand it. And I would have been concerned if I'd read Recreation Camp as well. But most of the complaints, in fact, I think all the complaints from Kipps Farm were before they even knew what we were doing. I understand the driveway because the people that are on the driveway, which most of them are here in the room, and some that are supportive and some that are not. The driveway upsets them, but you can't get in the place without it. So that's kind of what I'd say. There's a lot of flexibility around it, but if we stop things like this, then it just gets locked up as a private property, and then nobody sees it. But thank you for your consideration, and I hope you support the application.
Thank you. So we've had a presentation from staff, an applicant presentation, we've heard public comment, and we've had applicant rebuttal. Do we have a motion regarding this public hearing?
I move approval of CUP 251 Graham Outdoor Recreation Camp.
Second.
A motion and a second. Do we have any discussion?
Just to clarify, with the staff recommended with conditions, staff, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I actually have a question for Kinsey. I should have asked it earlier.
It's forward.
Kinsey, regarding the easement on the property, I know that it is sort of required that the easement be, like, that people have access to their property. Are there stipulations to those easements typically, or?
We have done some research, and we have not been able to find any language in the easement that limits it in one way or another. Okay. It's simply a 30-foot wide access easement that was granted, in fact, before Kipps Farm was ever developed.
Okay. And another one of the public speakers raised some question regarding regulations that would apply in the building, fire safety, and also, as folks talked about, traffic and sort of, like you said, the worst case scenario. I also got to thinking about, regulations that would be maybe in a road that was more regularly used, like a speed limit and reflectors or things to guide people in the pitch black, for example. What other regulations beyond sort of the land use that we're purview to are they going to encounter?
They really shouldn't encounter anything other than kind of what we're outlining in this tonight.
Okay.
And so what you see here is the condition about overnight stays. So it does have some regulations and conditions about fire suppression and fire alarms and those kinds of things that we took from the homestead regulations.
Okay. Those are my questions.
Thank you. Additional discussion?
Well, I guess I'll start this off. So when we saw the proposal 2 weeks ago, like I said earlier, it's improved a lot, in my opinion. A conditional use permit, in the grand scheme of land use, you have a district, and a district has permitted uses, things that you're allowed to do by right, and we've talked about that. It's a farm, et cetera. And then you have conditional uses. And the way it's always been explained to me or conditional use permits is we've decided that this particular use may occur in this particular spot, but we're going to reserve a little extra review because we're worried about the impacts. And that's really what this is about, the impacts to the surrounding area. And so that's where we're allowed to put these conditions on to help mitigate those impacts. That's really what we're working through. So my concern in the beginning was what's going to cause the impacts? It's going to be the number of nights people were there and the traffic, which would create, you know, some of the things we look at: noise, congestion, lights, dust. Dust is a big one too, because the, you know, the traffic moving in and out, but it is a paved driveway, so it's paved near the residence. So that's a definite bonus in my book. And so, you know, building all that, for me, the key was the limiting the overnight. I felt that it was half-baked in the beginning because it was brought forward that we would only have three events a week, it would end by 10 o'clock, you know, follow the normal rules. But it was very open-ended with how many nights people could stay there. And to me, that would be a concern for any number of reasons. So I like what staff has proposed and what the applicants accepted. The number of nights, it's in line, and a lot of the conditions mimic what the homestay requires. So I'm much more comfortable about what, you know, moving forward with this and supporting it. The other thing I want to say is I said it today at our work session, because town council got to see this at work session today. So it's been a whole day of the Graham Outdoor Park retreat camp, is that there are a lot of old buildings in our town. Some of them are in our historic district, where we at least have some process to try to protect them. But there are plenty of old buildings around town that really kind of fall out of the realm of what, you know, legally or regulatory-wise that we can do at the town. And unfortunately, not all old homes are historic homes, but they have a plaque on the wall. This one is old and historic. I live on Mount Tabor Road, and I watched the old home there at the corner get taken down for duplexes as a by right use. It was a shame to see, but that's the nature of how it was. So. To see this opportunity to preserve both an old and historic structure is huge for our community, second oldest home in our town. And then when we look at the community characteristics from our comp plan, I mean, this is huge that we could maintain this open space, maintain it in this pastoral, bucolic sort of way. Honestly, for the people that live in Kipps Farm, I think this is a blessing in disguise, because having a tract development of just subdivision homes, to me, might be a high and best use, but I don't know that it would work the best for our community. I mean, this is more of a treasure. So I am going to support it tonight. I do want to hope that the town council can have some more conversations about some of the issues that the citizens submitted. And finally, I do want to thank everyone that emailed us. By my count, there were about 32 emails, 32 citizens. I don't know how many houses that represented. And everyone that came out here tonight, both for and against the proposal. It's important to be part of the process and talk to us. So thank you for that.
I'm sorry, but I have another question. Kinsey, do you know when you're driving on the driveway, and you do have to pull off, if it's necessary to pull off on the Kipps side, or if it's possible to pull off on the other?
I believe the applicant can probably answer that better, but my understanding is that the driveway is relatively centered within the easement, so pulling off on either side would still be within the easement itself and not on someone's private property.
That's not true. It's tied against the road, it's tied against the southern side, the county boundary.
Uh-huh. So is there like a physical barrier to pulling off on the other side?
So half the driveway is on our property.
Right.
The other half is abuts Kipps Farm.
Right.
So we can pull off anywhere along that. There's a couple of places on our property where it's a bit high, you wouldn't do that.
Uh-huh.
But we can pull off on any side of it. But bear in mind that the road is about 10 foot wide, it gets 9 in some places, and there's probably another foot that's where you've got a tree on the south side. So therefore, on the north side, you've got 12 feet.
Okay.
You've got 12 feet where we can pull off. So it's a significant amount of land to pull off.
I measured the driveway in multiple places in the Kipps Farm ownership, and it is 27 feet from the edge of the neighboring field property to the lot that's in some of the houses that have this there back there. It's 27 feet, and we have a 30-foot easement. So there's 27 feet, 10 foot of that is the road.
Okay.
The other thing is on the 1996 permit, it was required to have a woven fence. fence put down further down the driveway, and that was put in, and it's actually decayed for 4 months since then.
And regarding like construction traffic, and I mean, usually if you were constructing something on Main Street, right, there would be sort of rules and you know, the town would sort of guide construction traffic and that kind of stuff. But here we don't have any of that because it's a residential property. Right,
right on
now.
Private property, we it
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm just getting my head wrapped around the neighbors' concerns. Yeah.
If you have any additional comments, if you'd like to speak to the applicant, please come forward.
I think I've got the size of it.
Well, so, thank you. Any additional discussion?
Just a kind of a general kind of observation in how this small project fits into community-wide dilemmas that we face and issues that we have to address. The micro questions like the construction traffic, things like that, I would suppose that if there's any earth disturbing type activities that would fall under town jurisdiction, but renovation of the house itself and siding, that's a maintenance type activity, and that would not.
Generally, no.
But the larger picture, and to me, and I think one of my mentors from years and years ago would say, Blacksburg is wearing the point now where we need to build what needs to be built and save what needs to be saved. And we are very much in a situation where we need to build because of the residential shortage that we have here. So it has to go somewhere. And the things that we want to save tend to be the things that come that get sacrificed in the drive to provide those residential components. So I think this is a prime example of one where we can really save what needs to be saved, and everyone will come out the winner. You may not see it today, it may be several years, but there'll be a time in the future when other historic properties are lost and turned into subdivisions that you'll be glad that this one was saved. So that's kind of a larger picture. So I think some of the fears that we have sometimes come with not taking action. And here's an opportunity to actually take action where we know what will happen in the future.
So I'll say that I'm very supportive of this use in this place, and that, you know, the camp is a little bit of a weirdness to everyone. We didn't have a perfect zoning designation for the uses that were described, but the applicant has done a good job of documenting and staff has done a good job of guiding them to the most appropriate land use and the conditions that should be placed on there. They have been responsive to commission's further concerns, and so I feel really good about the historic preservation. I do think that this use works in even the rural residential, you know, I kind of got to thinking through that at the last minute when it was up there, and I hadn't read it in a little while because, you know, kind of lives at the bottom of our staff report. Anyway, and I thought, oh yeah, that works really well. But I will say to the applicant that it is your burden to minimize the impacts on the neighbors. And so, you know, guiding your guests in and out of the property safely and respectfully is your burden. And, you know, I would think about putting a fence. You know, it doesn't have to be a wall fence, but something that can guide people up and down the road so that they understand this is where the property ends, this is where the road ends, and someone else's property begins, this is where our easement ends and the road begins. And, you know, it can be one of those lovely horse, I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, right? It can be a nice stone wall, it can be a lovely, you know, just fence that you put around horse things. you know, but it's there to guide people safely into the property and out of the property. And if it were white, then you could certainly see it in the dark. And I think also my fellow planning commissioners have made a good point that, you know, though we feel very good about what is proposed in front of us, that the right to do this runs with the property, not the people. And so eventually, if you guys, your circumstances were to change and you were no longer to be here, then the only thing that governs whoever owns the property next is what you've written down and included in your application, right? So that's why we have to think not only about our trust for you, but about what will happen with property owners in the future when we're all passed away. You know, I always say that, you know, over and over again, our job is to think about when none of us are here and our children aren't even here, what then, right? That's the planning job. And so I would encourage a fence. That's kind of what I've heard. If it's, you know, feasible, if there aren't, you know, big barriers to it, people driving in and out of it at night that are not familiar with the area. I won't say that, you know, you're probably, your kids are out there at 10 o'clock at night playing in the road, but you know, it would help them to have some sort of something to guide them in and out with possible reflectors or something. But yeah, I just want to be very clear that, you know, I don't think that what the neighbors are asking is unreasonable. I think that if they were asking for nothing, yes, that is unreasonable. But as the applicant, it is your responsibility to reduce the impact on the neighbors, especially in a rezoning scenario. Yeah, and but the thing is those can be taken down if it's not written down in the application. So that's what we're trying to clarify, you know? Okay, I've been doing this for a really long time, okay? And it really isn't your place to argue with me right now, first of all. Second of all, if it is in your application that you will put speed limit signs on a private driveway in order to get a camp designation, then whoever runs that as a camp from now on will have to include the driveway signs. And so, you know, it's just a matter of being detailed. You know, we're doing these things, and we ask other developers and applicants to do this all the time. You know, in big development requests, they're already doing like green building, they're already doing all of these fabulous things, and we just want them to write it down in detail so that if for some reason something changes in the future, that the next property owner will also have to do those fabulous things instead of putting up a building that doesn't include any of the green building requirements or whatever, you know, that they had promised us. It has to be written down. So I'm fully in support of what you're doing, and I just think that there's a few more details that need addressed, and I hope that you will do that before you meet council.
Would you consider that maybe, however the vote goes tonight, that's something, those ideas, a speed limit, fencing, things to be further considered at the next level? As the liaison to town council, I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard and what I understand about this, you know, and I think that we said this even in the last meeting, that they have so many good ideas, and that just being very clear and having those documented is the main thing. And, you know, I don't know the logistics of getting a fence all the way in there. You know, imagine that it's totally possible and there could be little reflectors or whatever. But as a person who has attended many farm weddings, it helps to be guided in and out of a site in the dark.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. And it would be a wayfinding device,
exactly,
as much as it is a fence. It could be a series of bollards. It could be like a National Park Service type guardrail.
Yeah.
It could be something like that to help guide visitors in and out and provide some sort of delineation between the Kipps farm property and this project.
And it's like a mental thing more than anything. You know, I can't pull off on this side because there's a fence. I'm a kid on the other side. Okay, there's a fence here for a reason. So I'm chasing that ball, but wait, there's a fence I have to jump. What am I going to do when I jump that fence? It's just a way of communicating that there's a property line here. And you know, it doesn't have to be a 10-foot solid fence. It can just be an indication that there's a property line here. Yeah.
Fences make good neighbors.
Hey.
I just want to, I really appreciate all of what my fellow commissioners have said. And I think in that last conversation, the idea of this as a as an evolving project, the growth that has happened since the work session to now, the recognition that I certainly feel of the uniqueness of this opportunity, and the intentions feel very clear to me on the part of the applicant, but that sense of in the name of historic preservation going forward, mm-hmm. i.e. future preservation, not making assumptions, taking care of what can be taken care of and thinking of this. I am absolutely in support of this, and I've been on the Planning Commission for just about to be 5 years. And frankly, this is the first proposal in that time that has come to this commission. And I did immediately think of the Salu Center and thought about the absence of what this is proposing for this community. And so the key is the intentionality and care that carries forward. And as I sit here tonight, all of those things, just as you've demonstrated just now, Mel, seem very doable, very achievable. So the idea of sort of offering up those recommendations to the town council for further development is very, I just want to really speak strongly in support of that. And it's the kind of thing I want this community to be able to do. What you pointed out, Blaine, about what can we save, that just feels like a really, at times, a missing component to the kinds of things that we have to take care of in terms of the needs that we're also trying to address in terms of development. And thoughtful belief in the process feels critical, because the fear of the what might be can often stop us, I think, from making really wise decisions. So I really appreciate all of what you all brought to the conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with the rest of you anymore. But one question I do have, and maybe it's for Kinsey, is we haven't really talked about the 90-night limit. Can you give us a little bit more information on that? Is that 90 nights, whether two people stay or 10 people stay, or if 10 people stay, is that 5 nights, or how does that work?
As I understand it, if one person stays, it's a night. So it doesn't matter if one person stay or 10 people stay. And my understanding is that the applicant has indicated that they're willing to provide that kind of documentation for us, should we ask for it, the same way that we would for any other homestay.
Okay. Well, and like I said, I too agree with the proposal, with the staff recommended changes. And I also with Mel and the real, you know, being a little bit better neighbor, right? And I think those are very achievable steps. So that's all I have for tonight.
Thank you. Well, we have a motion on the dais for discussion. Move to a vote. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
All those opposed? Great. Thank you. We'll move on now to our last two public hearings, which have been canceled, rezoning 25-4 Yellow Sulfur Apartments, PRD, rezoning requests at 3503 Holiday Lane, and zoning ordinance amendment ZOA 60-2001. And as we mentioned in the consent agenda, both of those public hearings have been canceled and to be scheduled for a later date. We now have citizen comment. Citizens can approach the commission, speak to us on any subject for a 3-minute limit. Any interest?
Amanda
Amanda Linkus again. So one thing that I have a little bit of a concern for the Kipps Farm residents for, on their side of the driveway, on the left-hand side, a lot of the families there, they have really nice fences. So if the Grahams were to put up an additional fence, it's going to obstruct the view, and it could actually cause a hazard for their children. Because if you have their fence and then they put another fence in, what happens in the event that an emergency happens and the kids are trapped between the fences? That is where I was like, oh no, two fences might be a bad idea. I was just thinking about that, because if they were to put a really large fence in when the families have the already, they have beautiful homes there, that could pose a safety hazard. I was like, I don't know if they want to put two fences back to back. But yeah, I just wanted to concern that. Thank you.
If I could add a little bit to that, thank you, Amanda. It's a statement. It's hard for you not to this is what it's like, but there are, some houses are fenced, and you probably know in states and houses they try to do this black fencing. I live in a Stetson house, so I know it. But so some of them have got them, the fences in, and some have not. And, you know, that's choice if they want to do it or they don't want to do it. So it does, putting a fence in is kind of now what do you do, how do you connect these? And the Stetson also require a gap between each of the house fences. And then the real reason, thing I wanted to say was there's an easement. It's not an easement, but it's designed as an easement to go from Kipps Farm, imagine this was Kipps Farm, the driveway is here, the Montgomery County fields are here, the Linkus fields. There's no doubt to me that I think Kinsey knows this too, that, you know, Stetson were planning to get that one and do houses in that field. And that's the connector between the two sites. So do we fence that? Because it's an open piece of land. So the fencing is not a simple, let's put a fence up and do it this way, because this is an open piece. Now, it's not an emergency easement. It's an easement where they were planning to access the next piece of land over. And they've done it in the same one I live in. There's a couple of places done the same way. I know what they're doing, and I would do it if I was them. But it does present a little problem.
It could be a series of bollards, something to delineate and provide wayfinding. It doesn't necessarily have to be a fence.
Okay.
It could be reflectors. And it is your burden to figure out the best solution and present it to us. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I'm saying that the neighbors have a legitimate concern, and it is your responsibility to find a solution to that.
Okay.
So, you know, you know,
coming back for hearings, presenting solutions.
Well, right now you have an approval. So your next hearing will be with the council.
Yeah.
What I'm suggesting is that you create some wayfinding as part of your proposal before you get to council.
Okay, all right. I'll talk to you, Jerry. Okay, thank you.
Do you have public comment? Do you have public comment? Do you want to make a comment? Okay, not on this. Baby, you had to come up here and say where you want to live. You live if you have a comment on this. You need to come up here and say your address and then make your comment. Seriously. Yeah.
Why?
Because that's the way it was asked. So you say your whole name, your address, and then you give us your suggestions.
I don't get it.
Well, that's the rules, baby, if you're listening at the very beginning.
We need to know fully who you are.
Yeah. So just say your name and your address, and then you can tell us what you think.
Ginger Eileen O'Brien.
And your address.
1 Allegheny Street.
Okay. Now you can tell us what you think.
You know the lights that Joyce has?
Yeah.
On the side of her driveway?
Mm-hmm. You think those would be a good idea? She's just talking about like little solar lights that run the driveway. Yeah.
Thank you for your comment. Appreciate that.
yeah, I appreciate everything you said, Mel, and it made me feel really comfortable living there. And you know, if that goes up, fence goes up, my complaint's withdrawn. That, and I agree, fences make great neighbors. And my kids don't stay up till 10, but they do play a lot, and we host, I got a basketball court in the back, mm-hmm. trying to raise my kids, you know, get a collegiate level, all that good stuff. But we have a lot of kids over, and balls go, cars go, all that kind of stuff. So if there's a fence, I'm happy. And to that point of the easement, you could still run a fence all the way down there and all the way down to the walking path that we have. Nobody's going to have a problem with that if their kids are safe.
Thank you. Any additional citizen comment?
Other subjects, I thought.
Great. All right, we'll move on to unfinished business. Zoning Ordinance Review Committee, we have not met. Historic or Design Review Board, we have our committee members not here. Montgomery County Planning Commission. Hope it wasn't me.
You're safe. I think it was you.
Any additional items from planning commissioners? Great. Move on to new business. Chair's report. I have none. Planning director's report. None. Town council report.
Today we had a presentation, the subdivision ordinance review. I believe you sat on that, Andy.
Yeah.
That's coming forward for us to go ahead and start move with that. And also, I just wanted to point out to everyone up here and everyone watching that yesterday we had a change of command ceremony, and our former as of today, Police Chief Brewster has finished a 28-year career with the town, and he started with driving a BT bus.
Wow.
I saw the ID, pretty cool. And we welcomed aboard Chief Claire yesterday. His first day was today, and so we have a new police chief. I don't want to say there's a new sheriff in town, but there's a new police chief in town.
Right. Thank you. With that, we stand adjourned. Thank you for attending.
Thank you.